Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone and thanks for joining this Q2 earnings call for Infibeam Technologies Limited. I request all the participants to please mute their mic. The results and investor update have been mailed to you and it is also available on the Stock Exchange website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance and then we will follow with a Q&A session. Kindly submit your questions in the chat box after the brief by Avinash is over and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said note, I now turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi. Thank you, everyone, for this call. And I would apologize for a late call. This time we have tried to include our foreign investors also. There are some HNIs and family offices and some funds also who have invested in us. So on their request, we tried to include them by changing the time of the meeting. Let's see how this goes. I would request you to raise your question and answers in the chat box. So that I can pull that and, you know, read those one by one and try to answer at the end of the my presentation. We have tried to cover most of those common questions as a part of updates, which we again, realized that our investor community will need that kind of input. So we immediately, after the results, the next day, we published our updates also. We would carry forward this practice with every results now so that you have a much more detailed understanding of what's going on and any deviation from the normal, you would have a better idea. So keep, this actually came through an investor who gave a feedback that the results needs to be explained. Why don't you give out some kind of a data sheet or updates? So we immediately executed that. So keep sharing your inputs and updates with us. Whatever more information that you need, we'll be happy to accommodate as much as we can. So I'll also request everybody to keep yourself on mute so that we don't have any disturbances coming in. Thank you very much. So this time we have come up with Surbhi, can you go to the next slide, please? I'll quickly skip through the first dozen slides or so because this I'm repeating them, every con call, and most of you are aware of that. Okay, we are in business for the last 20 years. We stay focused on custom software development services. That's our forte, and that's what we feel we want to focus on. We are a CMM level 3 company, certified company. We've been trying to narrow down our offerings and focus on two primary business segments, product engineering and digital transformation. So these are the two broad segments. And last quarter, we were asked as to, if we can report the segment-wise revenue. So we are making efforts and we probably will start doing that pretty soon, maybe next quarter onwards. We have multiple offices, software development centers in Indore, Pune, Bangalore, and Chennai. And we have, in the US, we have in Santa Monica and New York. In Germany and Dubai, we have mostly sales offices, put together about, little less than 800 professionals globally. So some of the charts that you've been seeing, again, this is annual data from FY20. We have grown from 74 crores to 164 crores in the last 4 years. At a CAGR of, revenue CAGR of 22% and EBITDA CAGR of 21 CAGR. percent. Next, please. We are very proud of this team, which is the foundation for us in order to grow the business further. So most of the names are, names that have been with us for about 10 years or so. Kunal has joined recently. He was in the last call when Akhilesh was completing his last tenure. So Kunal has joined recently. He will be our senior finance manager. And he helped build most of these numbers in the quarterly results. Next, please. A milestone, I'll skip this. Awards and certifications, again, we've been named as Great Place to Work, Dream Companies to Work For, Best Exporter, and so on and so on. Next, please. Glimpses of our offices in Indore and Pune. This is there are two offices in Indore in Crystal ID Park. We have reduced some of these spaces here, about 7,000, about 8,000 square feet in Indore, and about 9,000 square feet in Pune. So from October 1 onwards, that will not figure in our rent expense. This is philosophy offices in Santa Monica and New York City, Manhattan. We try to come out of these leases. These are long-term leases, but we are not finding any respite here. So now we are attempting to sublease. We were trying to sublease first. We couldn't, so we wanted to come out of it, but we took legal remedy, legal advice, and we realized that we cannot really come out of it without paying the outstanding dues for next long-term, whatever is the pending duration. So we'll continue with this. We'll most likely try to sublease one or two of them. Let's see how it goes. But that's an attempt that's continuous. The entire team in America is working from work from home. Same in India as well. 95% team is working from home. Only 5% like me wants to come to office and work from there. Next, please. At this quarter, we added 4 new customers, out of which, I'm proud to say that we have 2 Fortune 500 customers as newly added into the kitty. Another important update is that we have announced appraisals for our team, which we deferred for the first 6 months. Now we have announced it, and it is effective 1st of October. The overall payroll expense impact is about 9%, less than 9%. So that is effective 1st of October already. We have to do that because, we have started recovering, and we promised our team that, as and when we recover, we'll come back and review the appraisals. They have been very supportive of us throughout the COVID era, COVID duration, and there was no reason why we would withhold it beyond a reasonable time when we started recovering. The other thing is we are seeing good traction in our demand side of it. And today we have more than 100 open positions that we are aggressively trying to fulfill across all the offices in India. So we wanted to retain our team as well. Therefore, this appraisal was important. Another important update is that we have announced 55 new partners, which is the stock option scheme that we launched as InfoBeans partnership program in the year 2016, even before going IPO. We have planned about 5 lakh shares to be distributed under the scheme as a part of the original idea. And we continue to do that as a part of this program. So we are still well in balance, and we should be now March 2021 is when the vesting will start for the first batch, which was given stock options in 2016. So we will reach out to SEBI and NAC to start converting, giving an option to exercise those options into stocks. So that will start from next year. But we've already started paperwork for that. It will be about 5 lakh shares to be created for stock options. Some of the existing clientele that we have. Next, please. Yeah, I think most of you are aware of that, all these names. Next, please. This is the clientele from the philosophy team. Next. This slide, you know, we continue to focus on this strategies that we talked about last time also. We continue to grow in our existing clients, you know, focused approach in terms of generating more business from the existing ones, trying to focus on the new clients on a very specific technology areas, very specific geographies, a lot of referrals that we generate from our existing client base, people who move from one company to another, you know, carry improvements with them, the client contacts that move from one to another, they continue to, you know, work with us. So that's one big area. We have a focused approach in terms of sales team across all the three geographies that continue to deliver, and the inorganic attempt continues to go. As I mentioned in my notes, we are looking at three opportunities right now. One is a Salesforce company in Canada. The second one is a supply chain solution provider in US. The third one is a software services company in India. Next, please. So these are the highlights. We had about 26% growth in revenue from, this is purely because of philosophy integration. There's a drop of about 14% EBITDA margins and in EBITDA and 34% in PAT. This is again due to you know, lesser revenue from philosophy, which has seen a drop from 2 million last quarter to 1.2 million this quarter. They are still yet to recover from the COVID impact, which is hurting the margins overall for us. Good news is we have added two Fortune 500 customers in the client list, and we continue to grow in all directions. So quick numbers here. Revenue has moved up from about 30 odd crores to 41 crores from September to September. The total revenue from 33 to 42. One other thing that has impacted the other income part is the drop in dollar rate from 76 to 73 and a half on an average for this quarter, which was a sudden drop. You know, I keep repeating, but I'll again, for the sake of information for new members, we have a hedging policy of you know, only for the invoice terms, which is anywhere between 45 to 60 days. So we don't hedge beyond that. And so every time we raise a new invoice, you know, the invoicing cycle, we do a hedging for next 2 months. That too, 50% of the invoice amount. So that's a standard policy that we have done, and which is running on the auto mode. The person responsible for Forex does that automatically. On the expenditure side, we have, you know, obviously there's an increased cost as compared to, you know, what we did in the last September. But when I look at quarter and quarter, we have reduced our cost from 42 crores to 37 crores. That is some improvement that we've done on the cost optimization. EBITDA has dropped from 14, when I'm looking at quarter to quarter, it's 14 crore last quarter, which was a significant jump, primarily because of one is a dollar improvement that we saw in the June quarter. Second is, you know, decent revenue coming from both Infobeans and Philosophy that was showing up. Margins have, EBITDA margins have reduced from 28 to about 20%. We hope to recover and bring back between 22 to 24% EBITDA margin as we usually do on a yearly basis. Same goes with PAT margin. We expect that to be in the range of 14-15% as we usually do. You know, some of you must have heard me post March results and during the COVID times. We were very pessimistic at that point in time. We thought we'll probably lose 10 to 15% of revenue. June quarter, we were pretty optimistic by then because we started to see improvements in July onwards. Now I continue to be optimistic. We feel that the business has actually grown. One important data point that I shared. Sorry for the interruption. I think I'll go back to what I was talking about. So if I look at the revenue numbers, we have seen some drop, but what I was talking about is that we are seeing growth. If I remove philosophy for a second, and if I just do an analysis of Infobeans as an entity, including all its subsidiary, in dollar terms, we have increased by 8.7% in our revenue from the same quarter last year. So, from the previous quarter in June. So from June to September, we have increased in dollar terms by 8.7%, which is a decent growth, which we did not really anticipate while we were in COVID impact times. We are positive that we should be able to continue the same momentum. The only thing that is dragging the numbers right now is philosophy, which we are constantly working towards bringing back to the previous levels. And it's a matter of time and then it starts to show up. So usually one more piece of information I would like to share is usually October to December quarter is a low revenue month quarter for all the IT companies, particularly Infobeans and Philosophy also, because of two reasons. One is actually because of holidays in both the geographies. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays that reduces the number of working days. And in India, we have Dashera, Diwali and New Year, which reduces the number of days, Christmas holidays for a number of days which are reduced. Plus, one of the clients, NetApp, has a compulsory shutdown for the last 2 weeks of December. So that also reduces the revenue numbers. So just to let you know in advance that this is going to be some impact. But so far, so good. We have a good attraction, a lot of demand coming up. We are hiring, as I said, more than 100 open positions are there. We are signing deals also from both new customers and existing ones. So overall, the deal pipeline looks good, particularly in Infobeans minus Philosophy. In Philosophy also, we are signing up good names and good new customers. So there is a change in strategy in Philosophy in terms of, they used to focus more on startups earlier. So now we have transformed and we are now focused more on larger companies, larger names, so that we have a good opportunity in terms of repeat business coming in from there. But it will take some time before it crystallizes completely. The transition is already started to happen, as I said. Yeah, next please. So this is, on the balance sheet, it keeps confusing. It keeps me confused all the time, but I'll still try and attempt to read this. Our shareholder funds have increased because of the profits that we accumulated in the last 6 months. Financial liabilities remains the same. Deferred tax liabilities. Now I'll break it up. The financial liabilities have two components to it. One is the Ind AS impact of right to use offices and equipments that we have on long-term lease. So about 27 crores come from there. And there's another liability of 21 crores in terms of tranche payments to Philosophy founders based on their earnouts. So as a part of my updates, I mentioned that the tranche for this year will not go to them. So we'll save about 10 odd crores from the financial liability, which we will rewrite by end of December. So there's a protection in place for their poor performance. Our equity cost reduces by 10 crores this year. There are some provisions on account of multiple trade payables. Then there's a deferred tax liability. Coming down to financial liabilities of about 9 odd crores. This is on account of
portion of lease.
Current portion of lease and some kind of payables like professional fees and other things.
Yes.
And then there's a current tax liability of about 8 odd crores. Then we go to equities. On the asset side, we have fixed assets of about 94 crores. This includes investments that we have done in all the subsidiaries. Financial assets of about 53 crores, which is mostly cash parked in liquid assets like corporate bonds and FMPs. Then we come down to financial assets of about 78 crores, which includes the current account receivables of about 32 crores and some bank balance and some other liquid investments. So I was doing some analysis, and we have, if I were to give you a statement of what kind of cash that we have about, if I remove account, actually, if I include account receivables, then we have 128 crores of cash in the books, in the bank, actually, or the instruments that we have the money parked. If I remove 32 crores of account receivable, then I have about 96 crores of cash. So that gives us a lot of strength to continue to look for opportunities, as I talked about, to acquire another target companies in US market. So that gives a lot of comfort during this crisis time. And I think we can go to the next. So these are the updates. I think most of them I've covered. Revenue for September quarter has impacted by two main factors. 800K drop in revenue for Philosophy and the dollar drop from 76 to 73.5. These are the two primary things. The other thing, as I mentioned, was we've increased from 4.1 to 4.45 million in when I look at InfoBeans minus Philosophy. So that's a good news. Another protection that we have is due to the US government. They've offered us the small business support under a paycheck protection program. We were anticipating it to start to get forgiveness application in the month of August or September, but I think looks like because of the election they have deferred it. They're not opened the window where we can apply for forgiveness. So let's see how soon it happens. Whenever this happens, we'll include it as income, and all the losses that Philosophy is making would be more or less reversed. I talked about the cash position also. DSO has reduced from 78 days to 71 days. So good news is our clients are paying in time and we are able to get money quickly as compared to what it was in March. Next, please. So payroll expenses have been retained the same, but now it will start to increase. Rental expenses we will try to curtail, but we still have new lease coming up, payment coming up. We actually are having the office in our possession and we are using it, but there is part of it which is under moratorium, which will start to now show up in our expenses partially. So some leases are removed and some leases will get added up. The net effect will be about 70 odd lakhs in saving. There is a provision of bad debts. Again, one of the investors gave us the suggestion that why don't you have 2% of your revenue marked as provision for bad debt, and whenever there is a bad debt, just use that instead of cutting down on margins randomly. So we are trying to make it as a uniform practice where every quarter we'll have 2% parked under provision as of bad debt. And whenever a real bad debt happens in that year, we will just consume this. So that's the policy that we are adopting. Again, as I said, input from one of the investors who is helping us in terms of being more predictable in terms of our margins. Our tranche 2 payment we talked about, this will not happen. So a lot of people have these questions about what is the value of the deal and this and that. So which I mentioned in annual report, I'll publicly now share it here. So there are multiple components to the deal. The company did a revenue of about 10.3 million in 2019. We acquired them in September 19. And when we did the valuation, we were assuming it to be about 7.5 million or so. They overachieved their numbers and they crossed 10 million in revenue. The company that we valued earlier was at 7.8 million, where we split into two parts. 3.9 was paid on September 19 itself, and 1.3 was to be distributed in 3 years, December 20, December 21, and December 22. December 19, 20, and 21. So 1.3, 1.3, 1.3 was split into three tranches. The first tranche, because they overachieved their numbers, was released. So they essentially got 3.9 plus 1.3, 5.2 so far. This tranche, 1.3, is not going to go. So now the remaining one, 1.3 in December 21, will be released when they achieve their numbers. Plus, we have so this is purely on the earnouts when they achieve their performance. Plus, we brought their salaries to market level from I think whatever number it, we actually bumped it by 75k each for three partners, and therefore there is another component of about 500k that gets added up across the 3 years in terms of their payroll cost. So we've been paying that as an annual thing. So essentially the deal size increased from 7.8. If I include the salary cost as well, then it becomes 8.3. Now we also gave them a upside potential. If they over achieve their numbers, there's a possibility of sharing the EBITDA when they over achieve their numbers. Similarly, if they underachieve, there is a depression in the earnout. So 1.3 can reduce to 75% of that value and then can further reduce to zero. So this year it is reduced to zero. So they have both the penalties and upside potential built in as a part of their EBITDA growth. So essentially, this is the total deal cost in terms of 8.3 million to us. We'll now, since 1.3 is not happening, the total cost today stands at 7 million for a company of 10 million, which was in December 19. So that's where we are. Yes, some additional updates. I mentioned about the three active leads in pipeline for sales for mergers and acquisitions. Philosophy integration progress report is that we have integrated HR and finance completely, which is done by Indian team. Sales and marketing is under process of integration. We have doing joint efforts in sales and joint efforts in marketing right now. Since their business is, since they are responsible for their EBITDA, we're not taking over the sales and marketing part of the business right completely. We are helping them as much as we can to generate more business for them. But since they have to run the show independently, we are helping them from the outside, so to speak. The office operations, less than 5% population is coming to office. Most of them are working from the home or, anywhere they are. I mentioned that we have 100 plus open positions. And then COVID-19, this is another risk that I see. All of you must be aware. There are lockdowns starting to happen in Germany and France, Spain, and UK. So it might have a ripple effect, and US also is showing an increasing number of cases. So we don't know how things are going to pan out in the next few months. But this is a pending risk that might affect the business adversely. So this is pretty much what we have to talk about for this quarter, and I'll be happy to address questions. I see a lot of questions are already listed out there. If you can open up the chat window, I can start to answer those questions one after the other. Surbhi, you might want to bring your.
Actually, we lost the connection in between, so the chat will be.
So I have some printouts of the questions. Unfortunately, I am not able to read it. Can you please, I request all the participants to please repost your questions, because we have lost some of those questions there. And the printout that I have, which Surbhi provided me, is really not clearly readable. I have a poor eyesight as well. So I'll start to read from the screen. What is the plan for philosophy post December 2021? Wow, that's a good question. Considering work from home being the new norm. Okay, that's the second. Let me answer the first one. So the plan for philosophy is that we're already integrating ourselves from an operational side of view. And we are waiting for the founders to, actually we are helping them in many ways. We are doing joint sales efforts. We are strategizing in terms of generating sales or how to present, what kind of services to present. When we talked about key focus from InfoBeans on product engineering and digital transformation, we are also aligning philosophy in those lines on those offerings, so that we can do a joint pitch. And the name of the client, I can't name the client, but it is a Fortune 500 customer that we have acquired recently with a combined effort of InfoBeans and philosophy together. It is a Japanese bank, and it is a very large client, so to speak. So interestingly, we have pitched together and we have got that client. So part of the work will be done by philosophy, and part of the work will be done by InfoBeans. We have an arm's length arrangement with philosophy. So we will charge them a fixed rate, and they will charge us a fixed rate for the services that we consume for each other. So that is the kind of arrangement we're doing. In moving forward, and after December 2021, we are hoping to retain these three founders and have them have interesting earnouts and give them some kind of a stock options also. So these are the plans. We certainly want them to retain. We would get actively involved on a day-to-day business operations as well as strategies far much more beyond what we're doing today, and drive the business better. So that's the plan. The next question is, considering work from home, what is the possibility and quantum of reducing. We can't reduce the office spaces further. We will have to continue with what we are doing. We are facing a lot of troubles in terms of team engagement, in terms of the employee morale, so to speak. So offices will be required. We can certainly look at a hybrid option moving forward. So all the excess capacity that we used to create, we are removing that. So that is very very clear to us. But we still feel that office spaces will be required. Even after the acquisition of Philosophy, we did not see any jump in the EPS this quarter. The EPS from this quarter is just almost equal to EPS. Yeah, as I mentioned, this is because the revenue drop, and since the revenue was dropped, the entire impact came into the margins. Therefore, EPS is not affected positively. Is Philosophy profitable now? I can't say. We just ended October. I'm yet to see the numbers out there. The next question is, what is your outlook for FY 2020? FY 2020 will be mostly flattish. We initially, in the month of April, May, we were thinking we might have 10% drop in revenue. But with the recovery seen, we think it is going to be flattish. You have meeting with a lot of large investors such as SBI Mutual Fund and mid-size foreign fund. Any progress on investment from them? I can't say that. We'll see whenever that happens. We probably publish quarterly shareholding, right? So that you will be able to see that there. Firstly, it seems like your primary business has done quite good. However, I had a few questions with your acquisition of Philosophy and its impact. Okay. Have you accounted for the entire acquisition on your books? We have accounted for all the, as I said, 8.3 million cost in our books as a liability, contingent liability. And since we don't have to pay for this year, we will write it off. We will reduce it both in assets, both in liabilities and in, our assets. So that will happen. We actually have 100% equity, so there is no question about a clawback. Company has net profit after tax rupees 12.42 crores during the 6 months. Can you please tell how much net profit after tax is of Philosophy? So Philosophy is loss making. 500K is the losses they've done in the first 6 months. Next, please. Can you scroll? I believe Philosophy got some loan under. We talked about it. Are you planning to shift some of your Indian employees, founders, to expand the business of Philosophy? So Mitesh is very actively involved in Philosophy out there. You can say that he's actually leading a lot of strategic and directional things. We have deployed one salesperson from Infobeans called as Vandana Sharma in Philosophy itself, and she's helping generate some new leads for them. She is doing good there. We don't want to deploy any technical staff there. We actually are doing offshoring. Some of the projects are getting offshore to India also. Again, a very small quantum right now. But that process already. So from an integration point of view, they're offshoring to us. We are using their services. They're using our services. We are jointly pitching to new clients. We are introducing Philosophy to our customers. They are introducing us to their customers. So all of that is happening already. So I think we have been doing good progress in terms of integration. It's just that we don't want to fully take over because they have their EBITDA, which will be unfair to them. So we are waiting and watching. If they continue to drop in their revenues, we will have to take it over completely. Please provide detailed cash flow statement. Cash flow statement is already uploaded on NSE. You can take it from there. Plus, I also mentioned about the cash position that we have. A straight question from a very concerned investor is, Philosophy is a failed acquisition. That's a question. Is that due diligence was fragile and the results impacted so much? Is this some serious questions about acquisition skills? I think this is from Hiten. Hiten, I will honestly say that even today, we don't consider it as a failed acquisition. We are very positive about the team. We are very happy with the acquisition. We find that this is a very good team. It is a bad timing, so to speak, which is the culprit. I mentioned a lot of data points today, right? When we evaluated the company, they were at 7. They were anticipating 7.5 million as a revenue. They overdid that by 10, and they reached 10 million. Last 3 quarters they've been struggling, which is because of COVID situation. And you have to also look at the business that they are in. They are in the business of design and product innovation, prototyping kind of space, which is always driven by companies who have new product ideas in their mind, who want to build a new software. Now, in this last 9 months, it is actually unfair or inhuman to go and talk to a new or even pursue for sales. You can't even just raise a phone and call anybody that, can you give us some more work? Because nobody is in that situation right now. So it is, as I said, the benefit of doubt definitely goes to a philosophy team. And as I said, we are actually happy with the team. We don't have any complaints at all. They are very actively cutting down their expenses. They did announce a pay cuts for their team. They laid off some of the members. So they're doing all that they could do possibly. Business is business, right? Nobody can predict the cycles. There could be up cycle, there could be down cycle. We saw up cycle last year. We saw a down cycle this year. Totally business related. There is nothing that you can say whether it was a good acquisition or a bad acquisition. It is always a hindsight, right? You're talking about it today because you're seeing that last 2 quarters they are making losses. But it's totally unpredictable. We were supposed to make losses this year because we were finding that if 10% revenue drop happens or 15% revenue drop happens, we will make losses, right? So it's totally situational. I don't see any such thing. And as I said, we have production in place. We have got government support in place. So, we have about 20 odd crores saved off in our losses. So we are fully protected there. Okay, so Saurabh is asking, it would be great if all three founders join the call. I think it is too much of a stretch to have all the three founders join this call. We can probably do once a year. Next time I'll try and see, or maybe March ending when we have the year closer, I'll try and bring all of them. But every time it is going to be overstretch, and it is unfair on the business. If we can slow down on another acquisition till philosophy turns around. See, again, that's not a good approach. You have to continue to grow in the right direction. And, when we say we do a very strict due diligence, we only acquire a company when we really, really find value in it. And I don't know if you know, but we waited for almost two and a half years between IPO and our first acquisition. So we are not in a hurry, let me promise you. We are not throwing money right there because our funds are there and our ROC is getting beaten down. We don't really care for that. What we care for is growing the business, and that's the only agenda that we have. Okay, that's the only reason we diluted ourselves. So we will continue to work on both the directions, organic growth and inorganic growth. That out of the three founders, two founders are focused on organic side of it, and one of myself is focused only on the inorganic of it. So we will continue that strategy. I don't think we need to stop here. Actually, this is a good time. There are good opportunities out there. So we should be able to take it up. Sorry?
From the top, when do you see Infomin hitting 500 crores revenue?
That's a good question. I would want to hit it tomorrow. But you are saying that don't acquire companies. So we can't really do that very quickly if you don't acquire companies. Our ideal thing is that we want to double ourselves every 2 years. We are actually doing it in 3 years. So we need to do better. I agree with that. What is the ideal level of cash you would like to keep in with yourself? What is the distribution plan with the shareholders? Honestly, there is no distribution plan whatsoever. The only plan is to grow the business, pump into the business and generate and grow the business. We would certainly want to be hitting 1,000 crore top line before even thinking of doing a buyback or giving out hefty dividends. I don't think that is the reason why we are in the market. We are very clear in our mandate, in our red herring prospectus, that we want to grow and we want to use the money to grow the company further. Anyway, with the increase in size, we want to retain anywhere between 3 to 4 months of cash for regular expenses as a money parked as working capital. So we're not left with much after that. And we are a very tiny company. You should look at Infosys and TCS for buybacks and dividends and whatever. We are focused on growth. How does the second half look like? What is the order book represent? Anirudh, I think the second half is very optimistic. Much better than the first half. I can say that. The order book is still not a very good indicator for us because, we keep having several discussions, going on at the same time. And, for example, we actually signed up one client on Thursday, which was in discussion for quite some time. So you never know how many deals you'll be able to sign up very quickly. And what I can say is the revenue continues to, the existing client continues to give more work. So we can have a safe prediction that all of that revenue is our starting point. We have the base covered. There is no number that I can give you at this point in time. Sorry for that. There is no guidance I can give you. Sorry. In terms of business development, what are the medium to long term targets in scale? Yeah, I think... if you want to term it as medium term, short term, long term, whatever, we want to double ourselves every 2 years. That's the target that we work with the combination of organic and inorganic growth. Where are we?
Is it okay to assume that this was a one-time effect from COVID? First one.
And has been compensated for because of the... Yes. Yes, it is okay to assume that, Ayush. So Ayush is asking whether it is a loaded question actually. What he's asking is the philosophy loss is a one-time effect from COVID. Definitely it is an impact from COVID and it will be covered because of the PPP loan. Definitely, yes. Now, whether it is going to continue in the next quarter or next to next quarter, only time will tell. We are seeing good traction, but how soon it can convert into business is something to be seen. Any potential acquisition, I think we talked about it. We are attempting towards it. There are lead pipelines that I mentioned. We don't know when it's going to close. And things will normalize going forward. Yeah, we are all hoping for things to get normalized moving forward. You can see economy opening up everywhere. You can see a lot of tractions, even in Indian market, a lot of attraction. And US has never closed, but now a lot of people are back in action. We have no impact on H-1B visa, so don't worry about that. What would be the prudent to buy back? Sorry, there is no buyback that we think of right now. We want to use the money to grow the business further. Okay, all right. What are the chances of gaining the losses? So we are totally eligible for getting the forgiveness. It's just that the government has to open the process of applying for it. So I don't see any challenge there. Yeah, I think that's covered, right?
Yes.
All done?
All done.
If you can read any of those which are not covered, let me. I think the time is also up for us. But yeah, let's see if we can have one more, one or two questions.
Our results are weaker than Q1, especially for philosophy, whereas the understanding was
then
that Q2 should
skim that, skim that.
There is some dip in profit compared to Q1. Is it because of acquisition of philosophy, which has a drag on?
We talked about it. Next. Go to the next
outlook. Yes.
I think most of the questions are covered. Are you planning to raise more funds? Oh, that's a good question. So, we don't need it right now. But yeah, if we need it, we will really go for it. So, I think in the last call, I talked about various options that InfoBeans has at its disposal. One is we have a good cash reserves. Second is we have access to debt in US market and India market. Third is we can always do a preferential shares, or we can go for another follow-on offering from the market. So, you know, if we really have a big deal coming up and we feel that we can consume it, we'll go for it. But, you know, the target that we're looking for is anywhere between, 8 to $12 million revenue size company, which we feel we can digest ourselves without seeking any external help. So I think not needed at this point in time. But yeah, once we consume this in the acquisition, we certainly will need more funds moving forward. So probably, maybe next year or so, we can talk about it. Swelling investments. No, there is no swelling in investment. Whatever money that we accumulate, we just put it in investment. So there is no swell as such. I think that's pretty much it. Thank you. Surabhi, if you want to close it.
Thank you, Avinash. And thanks all of you for participating in this call. And now you may disconnect your line.